reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chapter 7, text 133-134. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Dashamedha Tirtha in Prayag to Dwarka, Narada had wandered, and he had spoken with devotees, the Brahman at Prayag and all others, who by the Lord's divine grace had each achieved perfection. Feeling great pleasure, Narada, the king of sages, now wanted to hear of this perfection directly from Lord Krishna's own mouth. Dear Mother, Lord Krishna is the all-attractive lion among generous benefactors. Now, therefore, Narada begged from him, the first blessing he wished to receive. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurumulatam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha. So, greetings from Sherborne, Massachusetts. This is the 10th annual kind of conference of young scholars, but in that 10 years, at least three now are professors at major universities, I think so. Mississippi State, North Carolina, and Bridgewater State, Massachusetts. Others are finishing up PhDs in various things. The nature of bhakti is that whatever your mode or station of life is, if you dedicate yourself to Krishna, you become perfect. Basic misconception of spiritual life is that advancement has something to do with renunciation. But advancement is giving yourself to God. I've been regularly studying the Bhagavatam a little bit more intensively than I have in the past few years by prayerfully reading 30 minutes every morning. I'm reading the story of Priyadvata, and he was a renounced brahmachari in the ashram of Narada Muni. And then he was needed to rule the world. And to rule the world, he would have to accept certain accoutrements of power. He would have to accept a family to support him and other things that generally can be entangling and allure oneself externally from the nature of the soul. But the instruction was, whatever your situation is, if you give yourself to God fully, you can become perfect. Even in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada mentions the nature of a spiritual master finds expert means, ways and means to engage the disciple in devotional service. And so these people have intellectual bent. And it doesn't make them higher or lower than anyone else. But as everyone else, whatever your proclivity or nature is, you have to give it to Krishna. We had a nice lecture yesterday by Pradyumna Panditji, Prabhupada's Sanskrit pandit, where he analyzed the term yukta vairagya. And real renunciation, proper renunciation is Hari Sambandhi Vastana, that you have to see every vastu, every substance Hari Sambandha and their connection with God. What you renounce is not the object, but the use of objects independent of God. So, Hari Sambandha, everything, everything could be engaged in Krishna's service. But if you're not capable, or if you accept things not in relationship with Krishna's service, then that's not yukta vairagya. So it's a very beautiful concept. Everything can be engaged if you can engage it. And falgu vairagya is to give up something which you can engage in Krishna's service. It's a very, very deep concept. We just scratched the surface. Sushma, dry, what is dry knowledge? What is dry renunciation? So that was interesting. And A. Chakra spoke about the history of Vaishnav music and history in general. That was nice. And then Brahma Muhurta, spoke on the concept of secession after Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And really, it was interesting because so little is known of the history. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati left, how did he want the succession of his line to go on? So he did a little research, and you see the tension between the institution and individual spiritual quest, the necessity of institution to socialize people's values and to propagate those values to others, and the challenges that arise from it. Anyway, we've had so far an edifying weekend. I may have to leave a bit early. I'm staying here in the Peace Abbey, which is 5 minutes away, which is, I can't say enough what a wonderful place this is. And practically, I have this estate to myself. Jivan looked at myself. We went rented one room, and it's a museum to peace and nonviolence. And they have a beautiful samadhi of Emily the cow. This cow escaped from the slaughterhouse, and it was all in the newspapers about 20 years ago. And then they captured the cow back. And then escaped again, and it was all in the newspapers. And then we finally captured it. This one man, he just purchased a cow and took care of him as the symbol of nonviolence. A symbol of violence is to slaughter the animals. So he has this incredible samadhi of this cow. I mean, a full-size bronze statue surrounded by a beautiful brick-colored walk with little plaques around the path of people about nonviolence. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. And I really, peace, nonviolence, but the atmosphere of peace, it's just wonderful for my own spiritual practices here. And I love the sign, "Let the conscious be the guest master." They're so not into defending. There's not even anybody at like a counter or something. You just honor system. You just leave your donation there. Okay, now back to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how wonderful to see this search of Narada Muni reach its culmination in the residence of Vrindavan. And hearing the attachment of Krishna for their love from his very own mouth. And anyway, I don't want to go too far back, but Narada was worried that because his entrance into Dwarka in his pursuit of the topmost devotee brought the discussion to the residents of Vrindavan, which awakened in Krishna his deep sentiments of separation for the residents of Vrindavan. Narada thought he had caused an offense. Sensitivity, consideration. These are foundational principles of being a devotee. It's not that we transcend the world and treat everybody else like crap. Sorry, pardon my whatever language you want to call it. I couldn't find a better word. But you're so sensitive because you're seeing everyone as part of God. And your mood is service, not exploitation. Your mood is service, not self-indulgence. And when you have that consciousness of devotion, your mood, your bhava, your mood becomes your lens. You see things through your feelings. And your feelings is love and service, which is reflected to Krishna and his differentiated parts and parcel. That is bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anu Shilanam Bhakta Uttama. Anukulyena, the main sarup lakshanam, the main emphasis of bhakti, is you do for Krishna. Anukulyena, with the intention to please him. That's how we should do our japa. We should listen to our japa. We should listen to our life. And what is the voice that guides our life? What is the voice that God guards, that guides the syllables that are coming out of our mouth? Why are we saying them? It is for the pleasure of Krishna. So a Vaishnava, his lens is his bhava. It's his mood. And what bhava is it? It's the seva bhava. It's the mood of service. He sees things through service. Are we seeing things through service, or are we seeing things through selfishness? If you want to advance, you see things through service. And you can look at your personal needs even in that way. For service, for me to be the servant of God, I will take care of the social, physical, and bodily needs. But a devotee, therefore, is very considerate of others because the spirit of selfishness is not in his heart. And because he's always thinking of God, he's always thinking of others. He's sensitive to people and their needs. So Narada was sensitive. Sensitive and sorry. Maybe, but Krishna says, no, this is the highest. But to put me in a mood of separation is the highest. Because the greatest gift for God and the greatest gift for the devotees of God is to remind them of their beloved. The greatest gift for Krishna is to glorify the devotees and remind Krishna of their love for him. And the greatest gift for the devotees is to glorify Krishna, which includes his devotees, and remind the devotees of them. Even if it causes intense pain of separation, which existentially also includes a mood of union, actually. So anyway, he says, "You please me." Krishna says, "You please me." And choose whatever benediction you like. Well, Narada is ecstatic. And he begins to chant all the names and songs filled with names arising from the pastimes of Krishna. Yasomati Nandana Braja Bara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana Gopi Parana Dana Madana Manahara Gopi Parana Dana Madana Manahara. He's singing. And then he begins to think in this verse. He went so many places, he'd spoken with so many devotees, he felt pleasure, and now what he really wanted, Krishna says, "I'll give you anything," but he really wanted is to hear of the devotees. Vayam natu vitrityama uttama shloka vartate yachinvitam rasagyanam swadu swadu pate pate. Vayam natu vitrityama uttama shloka vartate. The sages of Namasharanya, when Sita Goswami sat down to enlighten them, they became very, very ecstatic. And they exclaimed, Vayam natu vitrityama. Yama, we never become satiated. Uttama shloka vartate, by singing Uttama shloka vartate, these songs of Uttama, of the best of God. Yatshrindvatam, and hearing those songs, rasagyanam, which fills the consciousness with rasa, with an overwhelming experience of devotion that consumes one's whole life as a dominant emotion that pervades one's consciousness. The Trinvatam Rasa, and by hearing about love, bhakti, swadhu, swadhu, that we never become tired. So, Narada, what greater benediction can he have than to hear about the glories of the devotees from the mouth of God? Rasagyanam, Rasagyanam. So, therefore, Narada asks the question. And the question will inspire Krishna to explain about Prem Bhakti. Narada said, "Krishna Chandra, please grant me that no one will ever feel he has enough of your mercy, your devotional service, or pure love for you, the reservoir of ecstasy." So when Krishna hears this question, he's basically going to say, "What are you kidding? You're asking for a benediction of something that's already been granted. Of course my devotees will never be satiated. Vayam natu vitrityatma. We want to hear more. We're tired of everything else we do." The sages of Namasharanya
We're tired of yajna and sacrifice. They did it for 1,000 years. We're tired of this. But one never gets tired of love. Because love is pleasure. And the nature of love, true love, is that the more you have, the more you want. The more you have, the less you think you have. Because it increases your hunger and want, and you judge how much you have by what you're lacking. I don't have. So the nature of that prema, that nature of that love, it's so great, one never becomes satiated. Never becomes full. So Krishna's going to say, well, of course. You know what Pran Bhakti is? And then he's going to explain Pran Bhakti. Commentary. Narada wants to be assured by Krishna that no matter how much of Krishna's favor a devotee may receive, the devotee will never become satiated or complacent. Because then what would be the satisfaction of love? It would be like eating ice cream. You become full, and while you're eating, you have guilt. The calories, the cholesterol. Narada wants to be assured by Krishna that no matter how much of Krishna's favor a devotee may receive, the devotee will never become self-satisfied or complacent. Rather, he will always think himself unworthy of the mercy and of need and in need of more and more. Narada mentions Krishna's mercy, bhakti yoga, and prema, all three together, even though they become manifest in a causal sequence, not all at once. So actually, he says that no one will have enough of this, of your mercy, your devotional service, and pure love. These are things that manifest at different stages. The desire for mercy is prominent throughout all our devotional service, but especially at the beginning. And then our prayers become for service. And then when we advance more, the prominent prayer is, I want love. Krishna's mercy leads to bhakti, which develops into praying. What Narada implies is that Vaishnavas on various levels of spiritual progress have different needs. A neophyte needs special mercy from Krishna and his devotees to begin the process of bhakti yoga. An intermediate sadhaka needs ample opportunities for practicing his personal bhajan. And a mature devotee, driven by his strong urge, needs to taste Krishna praying. Let the impersonalists be satisfied with their theoretical self-realization. Narada and his followers never have enough of the ever-increasing ecstasy of discovering their relationship with Krishna. The Supreme Lord said, O preceptor of all clever scholars, what kind of benediction is this? My mercy, my devotional service, and ecstatic love for me all have this nature. That should simply be obvious. Commentary. To Krishna, it sounded ironic that Narada was asking for something that is already an established fact. Since Narada knows everything, he must have some hidden motive. And indeed, this was so. He wanted to hear Krishna himself extol the glories of Prem Bhakti. O sage, each of the devotees you saw and heard about in your wanderings here and there from Prayag Tirtha to Dwaraka is perfect in all respects. Each of them can deliver the entire world, and each has truly received my mercy. There exists between them only degrees of perfection. And we've discussed this many, many times, and I do have a pretty much regular group of listeners here that love is the one thing that can be gradated and perfect at every stage. Because there's no hankering for another stage or other mood of higher love, because it is not your relationship, although you may be able to acknowledge or recognize the depths of its intimacy. Commentary: in each of the places Narada had visited, from Prayag to Dwarka, he had met with pure devotees who personified the transcendental virtues of bhakti. And he heard about others, like the residents of Sri Vaikuntha and Sri Nandavraja. By the strength of Krishna's mercy, each of these devotees was situated in perfection and able to elevate others to perfection. This does not mean, however, that their love for Krishna lacked individual distinction. Pure devotional service is by nature full of variety, so no two devotees are exactly alike. So we each have an individual offering to Krishna. And the test of our offering is that we give ourselves fully to making that offering. Not that we adopt someone else's offering, although it may be bigger or more intimate. It's just the nature that when you have a constitution or a nature, then your satisfaction is dependent on your nature, not on another's nature. And you're and you are happy with that. And a simple example: the mother has a function of nurturing. The lover has a function of intimacy. But the mother, being a mother, is satisfied with nurturing. And she never wants to have that type of intimacy. So it's just a simple fact about. So what's happening now is they're clarifying the point, even though Narada was on this search for the topmost devotees. And that was necessary for him to see the varieties of love and also to propagate the glories of the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna. But now in Krishna's explanation to Narada in relationship to his question, he just naturally just clarifying this point. These other devotees, they are perfect. A formal ranking among Krishna's devotees does not exist, but still they show differences in excellence. So this is what people understand, that you know, even if there are social distinctions, hierarchical distinctions for management, on the platform of bhakti, that kind of ranking does not exist. Or I should even say that, and a formal ranking does not exist, but still there's differences in excellences among the pure devotees. Ultimately, Srimati Radharani and her companion gopis are the most excellent devotees. The other pure Vaishnavas acknowledging the supremacy of Srimati Radharani without envy, being satisfied with the unlimited happiness of serving Krishna in their own individual way. This is love. Love means you're focused on the happiness of your beloved. that becomes your prime motive. Radharani, Chandravali are considered the topmost devotees. Radharani is competing with Chandravali aggressively in the Leela. But because she has the mood and understanding that she can give Krishna the most love. So that's real love. Prabhupada would always appreciate Jayananda Prabhu. Because when he would come, he would ask for Jayananda, and Jayananda was not pushing to the front. Because he had so much love, he was engaged in service. His focus was on the desire and pleasure of his spiritual master, and not necessarily what he could get out of it personally. That's the nature of love. So this is the consciousness of the residents of Vrindavan, and unless you have some frame of reference, this is another point that's been brought out in the purports, and Krishna's trying to explain this. He said, now, Sukadev can understand this, because Sukadev was a parrot, Radharani's parrot. So he has this realization of this type of love. And when you have realization of something, you can explain it and see it elsewhere. So when you don't have realization of that love, that devotion, it's sometimes hard to see it elsewhere. And therefore, when one looks at the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, without having a frame of reference of the form of those pastimes in pure love, then you won't associate those pastimes with pure love, unless those pastimes are couched in sufficient explanation by those who are qualified to realize and understand them. When the gopis embrace Krishna, when the gopis shoot arrows of sidelong glances at Krishna, the consciousness behind those actions is, let Krishna be pleased. And it's intense desire to please Krishna. And that form of Sringara Ras, Ujvala Ras, Kanjaku Ras, Madhurya Ras, the form of that Ras is the form of intensity. But the pure form of that intensity is, I want Krishna to be pleased. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care if I go to hell, but let Krishna be happy. That's the pure form reflected here in the intensity. You know, I want to enjoy my senses and ego. And it's mixed. Love in this world is mixed. I was talking today to Jivan Mukta, who's my roommate here, and there's non-attachment for material reasons, and there's attachment for material reasons, and then there's pure love. So we're talking about a lot of times in this world we preach pure detachment from family, but someone may have had a bad experience and they may already hate their parents, or hate family or whatever it is. And their progression in spiritual life is first to learn attachment. Attachment in the sense of giving oneself to others. And then there may be a perfected or pure state of love where you love Krishna and you love everyone, including your family. It's not I just love them, not anybody else. And of course, as persons, we always reciprocate love, but it's a kind of universal. We love God, and we love the world. We love all his parts, parcels, and we try to serve them and our family. The other pure Vaishnavas acknowledge the supremacy of Srimati Radha without envy. This is the whole key. Bhakti means without envy. And envy manifests in fruitive consciousness. I want to get more from me to make myself superior. The whole premise of Bhagavatam is that there's no envy. And therefore, because there's no mood of envy, it's not that people are envious. And people for envious will envy will not get what they want from the Bhagavatam. Because there's no karmakanda, which is tinged with envy. There's no material rewards offered in the Bhagavatam. There's nothing to enhance you fruitively in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam will purify your heart. And to do that, Krishna will give you the world, or Krishna will take away the world, whatever you need to come closer to him. That's what karma is when you become a devotee. Krishna is bringing you closer to him by taking away, by giving, whatever. So the Bhagavatam is a very special scripture. Because it's without envy. Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra. It militantly rejects that type of religion which is mixed with selfish desire. That type of religion in which you do to get ahead materially. And therefore the Bhagavatam is for the devotees. And how is the devotees described? Nirmatsaranam satam. The satam, the devotees, are nirmatsara. They have no hate or envy. Very powerful consciousness. This man at the Peace Abbey here who runs this, they're, you know, pure vegetarians, vegans. The person who runs it, and he takes care of 12 autistic children. And then he runs this Peace Abbey. And there's no hate in this man. And it's very beautiful to see. And it's reflected in the atmosphere here. I say my best job of the year is sitting here in the sunroom, you know, overlooking this field. But I saw, you know, I rushed off, which I will have to do today in just a minute, to attend the conference. And then somehow when I got to the place of the conference, and I just got there in time, I didn't find the key to the place because some of my clothes are old and I have just one hole in this pocket. So I ran back. I drove back and then because I didn't want to get locked out of my room. And I saw him, you know, and I said, look, you know, I can't find the key. I went upstairs. I can't find it. And just his response was so pleasing. He said, anyway, we'll open the door with you. We'll find the key someplace. There was none of that. I'm in the center. Everything's an object of my desire. You know, why have you annoyed me? Why have you caused inconvenience? Why have you lost something that belongs to this? Don't you know how much this will be for me, for me, for me, for me? So to be it, Vaishnavas are without hate. And we have to be very, very careful that in allegiance to a line of teachers and an allegiance perhaps to the institution that's trying to socialize and preserve that line, we don't develop a sectarian consciousness that makes us envy or hate others. Because then you've missed the essence of bhakti. And what you were thinking was love of Godhead was mixed with your own personal egotistical conception. I'm not in the institution for service. I'm not in this sampradaya for service. But I am in this because I think this is the best and this makes me the best. We may feel that. And I do feel that. I am connected with the best. But I don't try to relate that, therefore I am the best. I may even feel I have the best opportunity to become best because of the mercy of my guru and the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which I believe fully. But that doesn't make me the best. That doesn't give me substance in itself. So we have to be careful to not become sectarian in that sense. Sectarian in the sense that we feel allegiance will make me better, rather than following the teachings, and it will make me better. And what will make me better? It will make me more humble. Okay, I'm going to have to run off. If anybody wants to say hello, because I really, really got to just, boom, go quick. But I would like to hear a few friendly voices.
Sorry you have to go, Maharaj. I'll have to save it for next time.
You have a question?
Yeah, I'll save it.
You know, Gail, you know, as I am giving my classes, I'm so conscious of the audience and so conscious of your critical mind that every time I say something, I know which thing you're going to go to.
I might surprise you.
So as I was speaking, I said, okay, check this one off. This one was for Gail, right? Right? Yeah, it wasn't expressed perhaps in the, you know, yeah, I got it, Gail. Maybe, you know, I'll call you up and we'll discuss that. But did anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Mother Indrani, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
So nice that you're here. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna while I'm packing?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhaktas.
Okay, Govardhan, Hare Krishna, thank you. Thank you for keeping me abreast of Prabhupada and Bhutan. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bol Maharaj, this is Janava.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Janava. Very nice, huh? I trust the film and everything is going well. Working hard on that.
Yes, definitely. And Hillary says Hare Krishna also. He's here too.
Oh, great. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hillary. Wonderful. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Thank you all.